As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Oh, yeah, the sun is arising over Missouri, folks. It's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Thursday, May the 21st, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I've got good news, hopefully, some hard facts, certainly, and maybe we'll even advance a solution or two. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the oraclebroadcasting.com chat room, or simply pick up the telephone and call in. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 and join us live on air or take Oracle Broadcasting with you on your mobile. And from around America and around the world, you can also call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You can also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email. Many interesting things filter into my email box each day, and I thank you for it. But you can contact me at host@vocallocal.org. That's host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, the Big Mo, 65647. Went up to the post office yesterday and got a couple of nice letters. Thank you so much. The listener call-in number again is 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. Gold declines just before the opening bell in New York. We'll talk about that. Of course, we'll go back and continue our study of anarchism, the Commercial Revolution, the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, world civilizations, oh, so much. Okay, we'll take your calls and do much more. Anyway, let's go into those market reports for Thursday, May the 21st, 2009. Active trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. As I said in the opening there, gold declines just before the opening bell in New York. Yes, indeed it did. Dropped down quite a bit there. Not a whole gobbin' bunch, but certainly took a plunge just as they were coming out of the London side of things into the New York side of things. Had to go down there and correct. So it did. It's right now trading about up 10 cents at 937.30. There was a little trend word, a little tick coming up again, but we'll see where it goes throughout the day. Silver off a dime at $14.15. Platinum off $2, $1,141 an ounce. Palladium up $3 at $234 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed yesterday at 8,422, off 53 points. The NASDAQ was trading at 1,728, off 7 points. The S&P off 5 points, trading at 903. The USDX, so far today, the dollar index, up 21 basis points, trading at 81.28. Still quite low. It's going to go lower. Got a feeling it's going to. Crude oil up or off $1.25 so far in early morning trading at $60.79, $60.79. Watch for the prices to go up at the pump. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, $935.80 for a low. That was the low point in the plummet that happened just before the bell opened. Bell rang, $944.60 the high so far. That's a fairly good spread this time around, $10 thereabouts. $5.80 year-on-year gains off last year at 0.62% return on your investment. The London gold fix this morning, $940. So we'll see it run right about in that area all day, most likely. We'll be back on the other side for more. Stay with us.
Are you
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
All right. Well, we should be back here getting off to kind of a troubling start. Let's see if it's working well now. Maybe the audience can hear that sound, the audio signal. Once again, this is Become Vocal Local. We're talking to you live here this morning, May the 21st. It's Thursday. We come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. And if anybody out there in the chat room can let me know if they can hear the audio stream, then we'll proceed again without any problems, hopefully, and that will be great. Anyway, in the first segment, as usual, gave you the market report, but I was concerned because things weren't looking the same on my screen. So let me give that again one more time. Gold was trading at $937.30. Yeah, up 10 cents in the active trading, New York City, as of 9 o'clock a.m. this morning. The silver was trading off 10 cents at $14.15. Platinum was off $2, trading $1,141. Palladium up $3, trading at $234. Now we're getting sound. Thank you in the chat room so much. I love this interactive environment that we have right here. On Oracle Broadcasting, we can communicate with the chat room. The chatters can communicate with me. I can get out to the all of the micros. We're up on the internet. Oh, what a marvel! What a marvel of technology! Anyway, continuing along here, the Dow Jones was trading yesterday. Closed yesterday at 8,422. The Nasdaq closed at 1,728. The S&P was at 903. The USDX was 8,128. That dollar exchange. dollar index. It was up 21 basis points. Crude oil was off $1.25 at $60.79, the lows and the highs in the gold market. Spot market so far this morning, $935.80 for a low. And that was a spike downward, by the way, right after the bell, virtually. And then it came down from $944.60. So the lows and the highs here are basically just a downward slope and a very rapid one at that. Year on year, our $937.30 represents a upward tick of $5.80 gain for 0.62% return on your investment annually. The London Gold Fix this morning, $940. We should see it stay fairly close to that all day, most likely. The gold spot market is going to close in 7 hours. The foreign exchange rates, the Canadian dollar trading at 87 cents. All of the foreign exchange, all of the currencies are down against the dollar as it came up just a little, but it was very, very tiny, infinitesimal moves. The Mexican peso runs 8 cents today. The euro, $1.38. The British pound, $1.57 if you want to buy those. Swiss francs, you can fill up your pockets at 91 cents apiece if you can afford that. The bond market, the 2-year running about 0.83%, the 10-year at 3.15%, and so goes the market report. Let's go into the news briefly. Not going to do very much news today. I want to spend more time on our study. You make better progress than we have in the last couple of days. This is off Bloomberg by Bob Willis and Shobhana Chandra. Before we go into that, I'll just review once again. I pulled up the Washington events calendar on Monday and shared that with you then. Here we see on Thursday that at 8:30 a.m. the initial jobless claims are going to come out at the Labor Department. Well, that's what we've got here in front of us. And so we can see that this jobless claim had something to do with the decline in the, may have had something to do with the decline in gold prices and a sudden pullback in the stocks as well. We'll see what happens as the day goes on. But here's the claim. Here's the report. More Americans than forecast filed claims for unemployment insurance last week, and the total number of workers receiving benefits rose to a record. Signs the job market continues to weaken even as the economic slump eases. Well, we'll see about that quantitative easing. Initial jobless claims fell by 12,000 to 631,000 in the week ended May 16th. That's quite a few people unemployed, folks. From a revised 643,000 the prior week. That was higher than initially estimated, the Labor Department said today in Washington. Total number of people collecting benefits rose to 6.66 million, a record reading for a 16th straight week, and assigned companies are still not hiring. Job losses are likely to continue after Chrysler LLC filed for bankruptcy, blah, blah, blah. We can expect that. Continuing down further here, upward pressure on claims stemming from auto-related layoffs are anticipated, said Maxwell Clark, chief U.S. economist at IDEA Global in New York, who accurately forecast the initial claims number. I guess he was rolling the dice and his dice came up correctly. Quote, the labor market will remain weak with gradual improvement on the horizon, he said. Stock index futures were lower. Treasuries were a little changed after the report. The contract on the Standard & Poor's 500 index fell 0.7%, so on and so forth. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg had forecast the claims would drop to 625. So we're higher than what was forecast. Dropping down a little further. 4-week moving average of initial claims, a less volatile measure, decreased to 628,500 from 632,000. So it just goes on and on, and it goes on and talks about auto slumps and unemployment filings and all of that. Times are grim. Times are grim. So maybe we ought to just concentrate on finding out what we need to be doing in the future. Going back to our report, our study here, a little bit more out of this World Civilizations 6th edition by McNall Burns. I got the instructor's manual. You could say it's an instruction manual. It's an instructor's manual for this text for the 6th edition. So I have both the textbook now and the instructor's manual for teaching this course on world civilizations using this material. And I found it rather interesting looking through and reading the various and sundries that were presented for tests, exams, essays, and other things at the university level. Didn't find as much information in this rather weighty 340-page manual as I'd hoped, but we do see that there's plenty of multiple guess questions and those sort of things involved in it. I've got quite a few old textbooks, and some of them have all of the quizzes and the material in them that the teachers were using back in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. And I can tell you that the test questions have gotten substantially easier by 1960. Today, I don't know, I'd have to get some more modern textbooks to find out, but if this teacher's or instructor's manual for a university-level class is any indicator, things have gotten very easy for the students over the years. Let's continue right here in the commercial revolution. Oh, before I do, yesterday one of our callers, our caller, Eric from Michigan, called in, and he started out asking or making the statement that I had stated that fractional reserve banking started back in the in this period of the commercial revolution. Well, it kind of threw me. I didn't want to question it, but I just, you know, we went in stride and it was a good call. But I went back and listened to the archive, and no, and in fact, we didn't mention fractional reserve banking at all in that segment. I did, however, over the night, over the evening, go through my stuff and look in various books and so on and try and find more about it. But really, it's not quite in the same line as foreign exchange. But anyway, we'll pick it up on the other side and continue. Stay with us.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
And we're back once again. Okay, let's go into this again. Back to our book, but before we go there, just a little bit more comment about Eric's good quality call. I did go in and look and trying to find a meaningful point of beginning for fractional reserve banking as a technique or a tactic, if you will, and wasn't able to put an actual date on it, although much looks points towards the Rothschilds and their beginnings. But anyway, that'll take additional study and additional research to try and figure it out, whether or not that system came into play with the Templars. That will remain for me to determine. I have no idea yet at that. So what we were talking about yesterday was this idea of creating commercial paper, and that in itself and foreign exchange, and that in itself was profound in the beginning of this commercial revolution. But now let's go through that. We started out with phenomena coming on us from the Medicis and from Venice. And now there was a new development. This is the sixth point. Or maybe I should just go through these points. Number one, the incidence of the commercial revolution. First was the rise of capitalism. We talked about that. Second was the growth of banking. Went over that. Third was the expansion of credit facilities, and this is this topic that we were talking about, where the Venetian merchant would obtain his money by depositing the bills of exchange in his local bank and so on and so forth. That probably was where the confusion came in. Four, the decline of the craft guilds and the rise of new industries. Fifth was the domestic system. And now sixth, it's changes in business organization and the growth of regulated companies. So let's listen now as this came in to play as well, that the commercial revolution would involve extensive changes in business organization was practically assured from the start. The prevailing unit of production and trade in the Middle Ages was the shop or the store owned by an individual family. So you would have like the shoemakers again, or the smiths, etc., a shop, a blacksmith's shop, or a cobbler's shop, or a clothing store. Continuing here, the partnership was also quite common. In spite of its grave disadvantages of unlimited liability of each of its members for the debts of the entire firm, obviously, no one of these units was well adapted to business involving heavy risk and a huge investment of capital. The first result of the attempt to devise a more suitable business organization was the formation of regulated companies. Regulated companies. Again, we're looking at a time period between 1400 and 1700. The regulated company was an association of merchants banded together for a common venture. The members did not pool their resources, but agreed merely to cooperate for their mutual advantage and to abide by certain definite regulations. Usually, the purpose of the combination, now you can see that we've got a regulated company, the formation of these regulated companies, and now we're introducing a term which I've come across many times in my research, combination. Usually, the purpose of the combination, or the combination was to maintain a monopoly of trade in some part of the world. Assessments were often paid by the members of the, for the upkeep of docks and warehouses, and especially for protection against interlopers. Now, who are these interlopers? We'll find out more about that. As those traders were called who attempted to break into the monopoly. An interloper was someone that was trying to get into the Rockefeller's business, so to speak. Getting in the face of the Rothschilds. Getting in the face of some of these companies. A leading example of this type of organization was an English company known as the Merchant Adventurers, established for the purpose of trade with the Netherlands and Germany. In the 17th century, that would be the 1600s, the regulated company was largely superseded by a new type of organization, at once more compact and broader in scope. And this was the joint stock company. You see, we think all of this came up yesterday. They, you know, all got dreamed up in the last century. Not at all. Stuff's been around a long time. I was I took the time, I had the opportunity to take the time, had the leisure to take the time to read William Blackstone's Commentaries on the Laws of England, 4 volumes. I still really need to finish the last one. I just kind of skimmed through the last volume. But it really gives you a heads up as to what was going on in the 1700s, where we've come from. And things that have been commonly known for centuries and centuries that some of us just have to struggle to wrap our minds around today. This is how deficient our educational system has become. But anyway, this was the joint stock company formed through the issuance of shares of capital to a considerable number of investors. Those who purchased the shares might or might not take part in the work of the company, but whether they did or not, they were joint owners of the business and therefore entitled to a share in its profits in accordance with the amount that they had invested. Now, you can just visualize, if you will, or contemplate the change that we're talking about here. We're going from the guilds, we're going from the feudal system, the lords and his vassals living on their domains under the Holy Roman Empire or Emperor, under the Pope. And we have this new class of artisans and merchants rising up, this new middle class, this capitalist class rising up, throwing a monkey wrench in the old order as we start the new world order and the new economic order. Continuing, the joint stock company had numerous advantages over the partnership and the regulated company. First, it was a permanent unit. Now, I'll just stop right there, put my finger on that so they don't lose my place, as I oftentimes do. But say here, first, it was a permanent unit. So we get the idea that corporations never die. Men die. Flesh and blood pass away, but the corporations will be with you forever. So first, it was a permanent unit, not subject to reorganization every time one of its members died or withdrew. Second, it was eventually established on the basis of limited liability. Of course, you see all these LLCs out there today, and we think, oh, that's all brand new. Well, not really. Okay? Not really. Quite old. That is, each member was liable for the debts of the company only in proportion to his own investment. And third, it made possible a larger accumulation of capital through a wide distribution of shares. In short, it possessed nearly every advantage of the modern corporation, except that it was not a person in the eyes of the law, with the rights and privileges guaranteed to individuals. That would come later. While most of the early joint stock companies were founded for commercial ventures, some were organized later in industry. A number of the outstanding trading combinations were also chartered companies. This means they held charters from the government granting a monopoly of trade in a certain locality and conferring extensive authority over the inhabitants. Did you catch that? A chartered company. They held charters from the government granting a monopoly of the trade in a certain locality, and it conferred extensive authority over the inhabitants. It's like a public-private partnership. This is governance 101, the beginning of sorrows, if you will, where the merchants begin to rule, as opposed to the sovereigns or the governments. A very big, important difference and a major change in the commercial revolution. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic food,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, so we're back once again. So recall all of this discussion, well, not all of it. I mean, there's many reasons why we'd want to go in and study all of this various and sundry stuff. Help us get on the map, if you will, internationally and historically. But we are taking a look at anarchism and anarchs and anarchy. And so if we can understand that when we continue later in this broadcast in our study of modern anarchism as it's morphed into a belief system, if we can understand where we've come from, we'll get a better handle on it. But this is a huge change, this commercial revolution. Can't be underestimated here or understated. A huge change coming down the pike on us. And this is how we came into existence here on this continent. This is how many settlements, if you will, or colonies all around the world got their start. Much of the map was drawn in this time period as far as nation states go. So here, let's start this particular line over again. A number of the outstanding trading combinations were also chartered companies. This means they held charters from the government granting a monopoly of the trade in a certain locality. This could be understood as grants or patents. Colonies. And they conferred not only all of the monopoly rights to trade in that spot, to the company, but it also conferred extensive authority over the inhabitants, whether those might be the indigenous people or the people who have just, you know, lived there for some time or the colonists that came along with. Through a charter of this kind, the British East India Company ruled over India as if it were a private estate until 1784. Can you wrap your mind around that one time? The British East India Company ruled over India as if it were a private estate until 1784, and even in a sense, until 1858. Other famous chartered companies were the Dutch East India Company, the Hudson Bay Company, the Plymouth Company, and the London Company. The last of these founded the colony of Virginia and governed it for a time as company property. The remaining feature of the commercial revolution which needs to be considered was the growth of a more efficient money economy. And so now we might start scratching the surface a little bit of our discussion begun yesterday with our caller Eric in regards to fractional reserve banking, although that's much later, I think. But here, money, of course, had been in use ever since the revival of trade in the 11th century. So there was a time period where money had fallen out of use and barter and exchange was the rule of the day. But since the 11th century, the revival of trade in the 11th century, money, of course, had come back into use. Nevertheless, there were few coins with a value that was recognized other than locally. Now, we've been hearing about people thinking of coming up with, you know, various states or counties coming up with their own coin, their own monies. And certainly you could have that in cities as well, coming on us and at us today. So there we might be revisiting or recovering some of this ground that we've had in the past, local currency, local monies. By 1300, the ducat of Venice and the florin of Florence, each with a value of about $4, and again, this was published in the 1960s, had come to be accepted rather widely in Italy and also in the international markets of Northern Europe. But no country could be said to have had a uniform monetary system. Nearly everywhere there was great confusion. Coins issued by kings circulated side by side with the money of local nobles and even with Muslim currency. Moreover, the types of currency were modified frequently, and the coins themselves were often debased. A common method by which kings expanded their personal revenue was to increase the proportion of cheaper metals in the coins they minted, such as the U.S. coinage today, all the little slugs with the shiny surface, copper-clad slugs. Or clad copper slugs, that'd be the better way to say it, clad with something that's shiny on the outside, all copper on the inside. But the growth of trade and industry in the commercial revolution accentuated the need for more stable and more uniform monetary systems. The problem was solved by the adoption of a standard system of money by every important state to be used for all transactions within its borders. And now we're back to this concept of foreign exchange rates. Canadian dollar, 87 cents. Mexican peso, 8 cents. Euro, $1.38. British pound, 1.57. Swiss franc, 91 cents. Today. Much time elapsed, however, before the reform was complete. England began the construction of a uniform coinage during the reign of Queen Elizabeth, but the task was not finished until the late in the 17th century. The French did not succeed in reducing their money to its modern standard of simplicity and convenience until the time of Napoleon. In spite of these long delays, it appears safe to conclude that national currencies were really an achievement of the commercial revolution. And so then we can go into mercantilism, theory and practice. We'll go there probably tomorrow and carry this on. There's other places that I do want to go today with this. But let's go back before we do and revisit this page where we read in regards to the age of absolutism or the rise of statism yesterday. I'll just give you the opening paragraph again. The age of absolutism was important not merely for the establishment of absolute monarchies. It bears even greater significance for its effects upon international relations. It was during this period that the modern state system came into existence, during the era of approximately 1,000 years after the fall of Rome. States, in the sense in which we now understand the term, scarcely existed in Europe west of the Byzantine Empire. True, there were kings in England and France, but until almost the end of the Middle Ages, their relations with their subjects were essentially those of lords with their vassals. And then we have a list of rulers that emerged, that came out of this. Now, these lords had dominium, but not sovereignty. In other words, they had the highest proprietary rights over the lands, which constituted their fiefs. You may, if you own a piece of property, have you holding your land in title of a fee simple title. It may be some other. You could look on your deed. But few have fee simple absolute. The absolutists make certain of that. And if not a king, then the state has fee simple absolute. That's how they can tax your property. You really don't have full title, full ownership of it. You have the use and enjoyment of it, but you don't own it. You're the groundskeeper, the maintenance man, and somebody else calls the tune. Let's go on further here. They did not necessarily possess supreme political authority over all the persons who lived on their lands. Now you can see that in your county that does the assessing of your land for tax purposes does not necessarily have supreme authority over all of the persons who live on their lands, those county lands, but they are the agent of that, those that do. They're the agents of the state and the federal union. Only through the extension of the taxing power, the judicial power, and the establishment of professional armies did such rulers as Philip Augustus of France, Henry II of England, Frederick II of the Holy Roman Empire take steps toward becoming sovereigns in the modern sense. And then it continues. But we'll stop right there so that we can get an idea of the people who would eventually become targets of the anarchist. It took a lot of reading, a lot of laying out the system to get to the point of the rise of statism so that we can understand better what we mean when we say anarchism today and what the anarchists were championing for in their day, and we'll pick that up on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor. Absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate control clock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
We've returned once again, and we're going back into this Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences. We've gone on and on about this in the past. If you haven't heard me intro this set of encyclopedias, you can go back to the archives. I'm not going to take the time today to do it. But we're picking it up in not even the middle of an article here. This is a very lengthy article. We're only a couple of pages into about an 11-page study on anarchism. But it's an important study in this particular set of encyclopedias, not only for the time period that these encyclopedias were written back in the 1930s, but also for the concept, understanding the importance of understanding the concept of anarchism as we started to roll up between World War I, World War II, because there was plenty of these assassinations of these various archists or arcs or archons occurring and more coming every day. And so we've gone through this process of laying out the beginning understanding of modern anarchism. And as I say, we're picking it up right about in the middle here of this discussion. And the author writes, this map of the various anarchist currents would not be complete without mention of a certain tendency, which is more a moral and spiritual attitude in favor of anarchism than a coherent trend of thought. Now I'll drop right in there and take us right back to where we began in our dictionary study when we found in Mark that the book of Mark out of the Gospels of the Bible, those of you that haven't read one, but and there are those out there and for reasons justifiable, I think. But in Mark 10 and 42, we read that Jesus called to him or called them to him, that would be his disciples, and said unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. And by careful study in the Greek, the phrase to rule over is archo or archaea, and it is the root of our compound anarch. Without rule, without ruler, without government, perhaps, that's pushing it, without a chief, without a prince magistrate, etc. And so we see these chiefs, these captains of finance and industry that have risen up out of this commercial revolution, out of the Reformation, certain captains of industry, the entrepreneurial class, and certain, you could call them the aristocracy of the money bag, as Carlyle called them, and understand that this group still runs the world. The captains of finance and industry. The captains of finance and industry were in the positive polity advanced by the 1850s philosopher Auguste Comte. The captains of finance and industry would rule the world, at least the Republic of the West, through their appointed dictator, supported in all of his efforts by a cadre of super social scientists, such as we find in Washington today, not only in the cabinet, but in the administrative branch entirely, and in all of the congressional offices, all of their aides, the people, the aides-de-camp, those that camp out in Washington at ever higher pay grades, move up, move out, or die. So we see all of this coming at us as predicted in the past, and so we need to understand this anarchist current, but to go with the author here, he's also pointing to a certain spiritual or a moral attitude that favors anarchism. And so then perhaps you could understand a little bit more of the phenomena of these crystal palaces and the Tim LaHayes and the Jerry Falwells and the rest of these, who in bed with the captains of finance and industry and all of the legion of their followers advance and champion for, if you could say, a theocracy on earth. It's a far beyond the despotism of Calvin. It goes far beyond even that. So let's go further. From the earliest times until the present day, a very long list of eminent literary men could be traced who, though remote from political theories, have made acute and passionate statements against the state. The explanation is not difficult. A genuine poet, artist, or philosopher will feel every pressure of whatever kind as an encroachment upon the natural rights of his personality, and he will be aware that most of our social pressures emanate from the coercion of the state as a machine. And we can see that in the rise of statism, it was the capitalist and the merchant class, the entrepreneurs, that were facilitating the rise of the absolute governments, the states, the kings, if you would, the monarchs, for the purpose of providing security and protection, and protection from competition for their merchant endeavor. And we hear today about the military-industrial complex, and we can understand that those same families, or perhaps new families and new forces, but the same underlying drive or ideal, is alive and well in the world today. The list of such men, again, we're talking about these various poets and philosophers, the list of such men today, excuse me, I misspoke, the list of such men, to mention only a few, would include Rabelais, very important Frenchman, Fenelon, Sylvain Marechal, I may be mispronouncing that one, haven't studied him, Diderot, Lessing, Fichte, Richard Wagner, Nietzsche, Multatuli, don't know that one, Edward Carpenter, Thoreau, Emerson, Walt Whitman, Ibsen. A no less enthusiastic support has been given to anarchism by many gifted cartoonists and caricaturists who denounce the present order of things with mordant satire. A type of anarchist caricature was created by Puget's magazine, Pierre Pinard, And George Adler is perhaps not wrong when he attributes this to this kind of propaganda a great influence on terroristic deeds. Now, we could make a sidebar study in all of this and go in and take a look at the various artworks that came out of the late 1800s, 1700s, 1800s, and early 1900s that pictured, you know, the capitalist pig as this hook-nosed Jew or with the hat and the side curls or whatever. Everyone pointing their finger in that direction. But, of course, in our own studies, we found that it were the Hittites, not the Hebrews, that had the marked noses, these proboscises, these huge hook noses, so marked, in fact, in their own architecture and in their own art, they depicted themselves that way. So maybe these hook noses that we talk about that the artists paint pictures of are Hittites, or the derivative, you know, the generations descending from the Hittites, and not Hebrew at all. I don't know. That would be something for a scientist to study, and I'm not one. Outside the field of actual anarchist thought, there are two important intellectual movements which share the fundamental anarchist attitude to the state. One is the liberal socialism of Franz Oppenheimer, which would restrict the sphere of influence of the state to a minimum and give the largest opportunity to local autonomy, decentralization, federalism, and to spontaneous economic union of capitalist producers liberated from the yoke of capitalism by the elimination of monopolistic landed property. And we'll find out more about that on the other side of this coming break as we close out the first hour. But as we go through this idea, we start to see these words, they're coming in now, local, 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 local. And as I came aware of this drive that was coming at us from England, localism, I adopted the term become vocal local, that we might block the localist propaganda as it came into our towns, our cities, our counties, and our states. We'll be back right after this break. Stay with us.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, May the 21st, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We do come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, the official webpage of the network. Do log on to the book and bookmark that site if you haven't visited recently. Lots of things to do. There's many links on the left-hand side of the homepage. Among them are the chat room link, and the chat room is open. You can just pick a name and come in and join in the chat. A good place to pick up interesting links, good place to drop the links that you've got to share, news and conversation going on in there all the time, and I enjoy following the chat room during and throughout the broadcast as well. So if you have a question and I happen to notice it, I'll try and address it right away on air. You can also call in during the broadcast at 866-841-1065. And if you've got unlimited long-distance access or you live in the Austin, Texas area, you can call the local number. It's 512-904-8014 to join us live on air. We're talking about anarchism. We've been on this thread for some time. But, of course, if you've got a deep well and a long-handled pump, it takes a lot of strokes to get the water up to fill the pail. And so we're dealing with a very deep well here, and we do have the pump, and so we're using it. We started out going into anarchism from the standpoint of a study of world civilizations, and now we're finding ourselves dealing with the modern developments, at least modern as of almost 80 years ago and a little bit longer, as anarchism transitioned from anarch and anarchy to an ism or a belief system. And there were a lot of proponents. We talked about just before the top of the hour break, we talked about the liberal socialism of Franz Oppenheimer, mentioning it, which would restrict the sphere of influence of the state to a minimum and give the largest opportunity to local autonomy, decentralization, federalism, and to the spontaneous economic union of capitalist producers. Supposedly liberated from the yoke of capitalism by the elimination of monopolistic landed property. You're always going after your landed property. But we find this very interesting and timely because this idea of local autonomy, we're hearing about it more and more and more. And when we say become vocal local, we're not talking about the old globalist maxim of think global and act local. Far from it. To become vocal local is the antithesis of, or the very nemesis of, that globalist slogan. We're not interested in sloganism here and jargon. The idea is to counter the craft and the guile of the change agent's use of voluntary compliance and affirmative action. Voluntary compliance and affirmative action to effect an implementation through public buy-in. This is what they're trying to do. And so what vocal local is all about is it exposes the socioeconomic, political, and theological underpinnings of that very globalist safety cult agenda. And by exposing globalist localism propaganda, vocal local reveals the true nature of the public-private partnership as nothing more than a naked move towards corporate fascism. So these are some of the things that we're discussing here. We look at local autonomy and decentralization as nothing really more than the Tavistock Institute's drive towards putting power on the edge. It's edge theory. There's so much to this, folks. We've got our future mapped out before us, and it's a future that looks very grim. We won't need sunshine left. We'll be right back.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Right, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations. More secretive than the Bilderberg Group. The Secret Right Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we are back. We've returned once again. This is our Thursday. It's a live broadcast, Thursday, May the 21st, 2009. It's a two-hour broadcast. We're starting our second hour. My name again is William Roberts. We're going into anarchism, getting a much better understanding of it, wrapping our minds around it. You know, you've got the Missouri Information Analysis Center putting out this Fusion Center, putting out reports, you know, calling everybody that supported Ron Paul or Bob Barr or Chuck Baldwin or any of the others, also ran candidates as militants and militia groups and anarchists and so on and so forth. Well, if we're getting tarred with that brush, we ought to understand the meanings behind these words. And the government, if you will, the gubermint, the ubermint, fear anarchists, and rightly so. Because when you boil down what has become gubermint into its most refined state, you'll find that it's a series of people, people that you can number. You can write out their names on a piece of paper. It might take these days several pages to do so, but your primary controllers can be enumerated on a list. And so you can understand that they know who they are, and they know their numbers are small. Although they have vast wealth and control armies. You don't have to defeat the army if you can eliminate the leaders, and that's kind of where the anarchists have focused their attention so often in the past. But in the beginning of this hour, we talked about liberal socialism, but there's another system as well. The other is the pluralist school of political thought. And if you've been following this broadcast, for any length of time or go back in the archives or on other networks where I've done radio broadcasting in the last year or so, I've made quite a study of pluralism and this pluralist school of thought. Let's find out a little bit more briefly while we're contemplating anarchism. The other is the pluralist school of political thought, which endeavors to demonstrate that there are many associations anterior to the state. Now, what does anterior to the state mean? It means they came before the state. In other words, now we're going right back to these various entrepreneurs and these companies and these corporations that facilitated the rise of statism and the modern state. That above the law of the state, there is the common moral conviction of the society, this is another aspect of it, and that the supreme power of the state is practically always limited by the power of other associations, and that the whole trend of economic evolution tends to discard state sovereignty, that the unified central state will disappear and will give place to a cooperation of various economic, cultural, and religious associations. And so we can hear echoing the words that were written at the end of the chapter that we studied from Edward McNall Burns' World Civilizations, his very sentiments that the unified centralized state, or the rise of statism, the state, will disappear and give place to a cooperation, a co-op, commune, a combine of various economic, cultural, and religious associations. This is where we are today. And I'm certain that if you will put your pluralism glasses on, you'll be able to see them. Even a very summary description of the historical development of practical anarchist policy is a matter of great difficulty. Anarchism never became an organized mass movement as socialism did, but there is not even a possibility for such a development. The very essence of anarchist thought precludes organization. You see, when I'm talking about becoming vocal local, I recognize the impossibility of the situation for onesie-twosie to have any meaningful impact or affect any long-lasting change. Organization is going to be required. But it needn't be the idea of creating institutions where no institutions are needed. We have plenty of them. We needn't follow after the pluralists and create 1,000 more splinter groups. We needn't crown kings and queens where none are needed nor wanted and just follow after the statist mentality. But individuals will need to come together and work right where they are to affect change in the next 2 or perhaps 4 years, if we have that long. The Anarchist Congress of St. Imier, 1872, it's I-M-I-E-R if you want to browse it out on the internet, the Anarchist Congress of St., S-T, period, Imier, it's capital I-M-I-E-R, of 1872, protested energetically against the, quote, the reactionary assumption, close quote, of giving to the proletariat a definite program. Every time we see these words, program, you've got to think of the socialist internationals from which these various programs of action have come forward. In other words, here we go back. The Anarchist Congress protested emphatically and energetically against the reactionary assumption of giving the proletariat a definite program and an authoritative guidance, whether that be with your bullhorn or however. Although continuous persecution of the movement by state authorities often compelled the anarchists to an underground organization. You might remember the French Underground and the work that they effected. A discussion of the mass movement, therefore, must restrict itself principally to the emphasis of certain important features or some rather typical traits that it displays. The mass movement concept coming into play here. The antagonism between anarchists and communists became an important force of differentiation in the proletarian movement. The first period of the International Working Man's Association, called the Mutualist period, bet you'd never heard of that before, was characterized by the predominance of the principles of Proudhon over the Marxist minority. The situation was slowly changed when in 1868, several organizations entered the association, which previously belonged to the Alliance Internationale de la Démocratie Socialiste, founded by Bakunin on a strictly anarchist basis. This adherence led to a short collectivist period of the Internationale, when the followers of Marx and Bakunin were successful in overruling the former Proudhonist attitude and enforcing an acceptance of the claim of nationalization of all landed property. That came out of the Congress of Geneva, 1868, of Basel in 1869. We'll be back.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.org or Broadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
And we are back, once again, jumping up from my keyboard. yes, chatting, caught me chatting in the chat room in the break. Anyway, let us continue again. We're going to go into this Alliance Internationale de la Démocratie Socialiste, founded by the Bakunins. The end of the conflict, well, no, I should jump up a little bit further. The Congress of Geneva, we were talking about going into the break, of 1868 and of Basel of 1869. And by this, the ice was broken for pure communism. And Marx attacked more and more violently the anarchist wing represented by Bakunin, who in his turn made a violent struggle against the authoritarian quote-unquote German communism. The end of the conflict was the expulsion of Bakunin from the Internationale, the Congress of The Hague in 1872. But the organization did not survive this amputation because this very Congress decided the dissolution of the Internationale, whose general counsel was removed, not to Moscow, but to New York, where it died silently. Did it die silently? Or did it rise from the ashes? As the Illuminati say, always known, never known by the same name twice, always hidden behind new names and new vocations. Very likely. Continuing here, let's see if I can drop down a little bit. Bakunin remained therefore undefeated and was successful in gathering the chief anarchist forces in the Federation Jurassienne. Wish I had my French pronunciation down better. Which became the nucleus of the anarchist revolutionary propaganda and regarded itself as the legitimate successor of the dissolved International. As a matter of fact, several congresses were held under the name of the International. The last in Verviers in 1877. But these congresses were not strictly anarchist in their character. Only the Congress of London in 1881 and of Amsterdam in 1907, whoops, now we're in the 1900s, can be regarded as real anarchist congresses of an international character. The Federation of the Jura became a revolutionary center from which anarchist propaganda radiated into all parts of Europe. But it soon found a formidable enemy which checked its influence. This was the regalvanized International Working Man's Association, which after its Congress of Paris in 1889 carried on an embittered struggle against the anarchist movement until it broke with it entirely. And the study of the International Working Man's Association is itself fascinating. And the ILO, the International Labor Organization, remains as one of the organs or bodies in the United Nations system today. The only countries in which the anarchist movement assumed a certain mass importance were France, Italy, and Spain, where the labor movement has shown anarchist color leading sometime to violent excesses, and the state finally felt itself compelled to interfere and crush the agitation by brutal measures and draconian exceptional legislation. Can you say the Patriot Act? The establishment of the Department of Homeland Security? The expansion of the enhanced 911 system? FEMA's all-hazard, multi-jurisdictional, all-hazard mitigation system? The fusion centers. In terroristic attempts against political figures, the anarchists of the Latin race had an overwhelming part. Many attempts against the lives of sovereigns were successful, and the terroristic deeds aroused a wave of persecution against the anarchist movement. This paramount participation of the Latins cannot be explained on purely racial grounds. The chief cause lies in a rigid system of centralization allied with excessive red tape and, at least in Spain and Italy, with a system of pseudo-constitutionalism. Besides, in Spain and Italy, the feudal land system made social oppression still more conspicuous. We're not talking about the 1400s, Dorothy. This explanation is corroborated by the fact under the Austrian absolutism, there arose in Vienna a vehement anarchist movement about 1880s, which cost the lives of several government employees, but that later, when more civil liberty was given, and especially when a powerful social democratic party was organized, the movement lost all its significance. Do a sidebar here. As I so often state, I am an advocate of the abolition of the established two-party political system off the shores of the United States of America. I do not advocate or encourage a one-party system, nor do I advocate a multiple-party system such as there is throughout much of Europe and elsewhere. We have a constitutionally limited republican form of representative government, which in my mind has from its founding not been tried. I would like to give that a try before we throw the towel in and whip the baby out the back door with the bathwater. But I bring it up because now we bring up one of my favorite punching bags, this powerful social democratic party that basically rose out of this anarchist spirit in Europe. And multi-party systems have been covered on this broadcast in the past, but are different from our established two-party political system here in the several states. In the established two-party system that we have, Humpty Dumpty A and Humpty Dumpty B basically line up on top of each other. They're both cadre-style parties, and their sole purpose, ostensibly, is winning the election, gaining a proximity to power or absolute power, controlling government. That's their whole function. Whereas in Europe, they have a multi-party system, and so you could have a social democratic party and a democratic social party and a Christian social democratic party and a democratic Christian social party and on indefinitely. If one pill makes you sick, that would be Mussolini, for instance, a one-party system, fascism. And if two parties or two pills make you even more sick, the established two-party political system in this country, then of what possible merit can 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, or 64 parties be? As Aristotle says, such as you begin badly, you cannot help but to end badly. And so more parties is not the answer, obviously. Anyway, we're finding roots here in the Social Democratic Party directly back to the Bakunins and the various people that rose up around them, the anarchists. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us as we continue our study right here on Become Vocal Local.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate control clock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
They say that you can travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, and so we've returned once again here. So it's manifestly not an accident that the terroristic theory of anarchism was born in Russia, the classic country of feudalism, despotism, and bureaucratic abuses. You ever studied the Russia? Huge history involved in all of that, lots of research involved in all of that, for the thousands and thousands that died at the hand of Peter the Great. It was his own hand swinging the axe oft times. Lots of people lost their heads there. But there's Catherine the Great. I wouldn't say that she necessarily would sleep with a horse, but there were few she wouldn't sleep with. Lots of interesting things to look into historically. Keeps us understanding that we're part of a long, long process, and the more we can understand about it, the better position we can be in to visualize that future of greater and greater freedom and less despotic control and tyranny, and move that way. We can call it forth. We can bring it into existence. Or we can do nothing and just accept whatever government is offered to us or clamped down upon us. Continuing here, again, it is an interesting fact that although European anarchist thought was so conspicuously influenced by Russian apostles, the movement itself never assumed a great significance in Russia because other more rigid and centralized political associations, the socialists, the nihilists, the social revolutionists, and the Bolsheviks, not to mention the Mensheviks, were more successful in uniting the revolutionary energies of the country. The anarchist organizations and papers have been completely suppressed by the Bolshevik government during recent years. Again, this was written in 1930. Many of those that contributed to this set of encyclopedia went on to become their Führer's professors. Much of this information was prepared for the Hochschule für Politik and the rise of the Third Reich. They were not looking at starting something small, they were looking at something big. And they were preparing their leadership accordingly. Are we faced with something big? Is it time to ratchet up our knowledge bank and get away from all of these various and sundry symptoms and victims that have so much consumed our time over the last 7 or more years? I think so. Continuing here from the article in the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, in all other countries where a sufficient amount of freedom and constitutional liberty has guaranteed an adequate share of activity and independence to the individual, anarchism never became a dangerous movement. Everyone was asleep, content with their security, while their liberties were fleeting away. The former extreme liberalism of England and Switzerland toward political refugees did not disturb even the most critical period of the anarchist tide, the calm of the citizens who preferred to, quote, cast ballots rather than to cast bullets, close quote. The story of American anarchism seems to corroborate these conclusions. Only the nonviolent, liberal, individualistic type of anarchism had a deep influence on the genuinely American mind, whereas the violent communistic anarchism, transplanted by the German exile Johann Most, appealed rather to the immigrant proletariat. The vehement Haymarket riot in Chicago of 1886 caused the execution of several alleged anarchists, the imprisonment of Most, that's capital M, Most, M-O-S-T, and the suppression of the anarchist regime and organizations and their papers. The murder of President McKinley in Buffalo, New York, in 1901 by an anarchist exasperated American public opinion so greatly that the next year a law was passed forbidding anarchists' entrance into the United States. Synthesis, thesis, antithesis. In spite of this prohibition, and I should really continue right there for a moment, you know as well as I do, dear listeners, if you've been following independent radio for any length of time at all, that so much of this Bolshevik and Menshevik revolution, and even oftentimes the rise of Nazism, and perhaps even fascism, is the product of Wall Street and London. It seems that we wasted our two bombs, the fat boy and his friend. Perhaps London and New York would have been appropriate targets as opposed to Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Wouldn't that have been a different color to the Second World War? In spite of this prohibition, its recent immigrants from the regions of the quote-unquote highest social pressure, who seem to constitute the revolutionary ferment in the latest phase of anarchism, revolutionary trade unionism. Now today we're hearing a call for legislation to immediately suppress this idea that turning GM over to the labor unions is not a workable solution for the same kind of a reactionary movement as we saw here. The revolutionary trade unionism. Nothing demonstrates more clearly the extent to which terroristic anarchism has been repudiated by genuine American public opinion than the fact that even now and even among intellectuals, the term anarchism is often indiscriminately used to indicate assassins and all kinds of disorganizing forces. Critics of anarchism attack the theory generally from three points of view. First, they argue the absolute necessity of a coercive organization in any human community. They argue the absolute necessity of a coercive organization in any human community. Second, they undertake to show that without violence, the destruction of the state is unimaginable, whereas with violence, a new state would immediately follow the destroyed one. How many times? I feel like a schoolmaster, pedantic. Ay, 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 ay. Do I even say it again? Let's get the third one out, and then we'll come back, hopefully. Third, they argue that preaching of violence and the application of immoral means destroy those very human tendencies on which anarchism intends to build the new society. To these objections, it might be added that the later communistic anarchism of Kropotkin and his followers is manifest contradictio in adjecto. It is evidently a gratuitous assumption that every man will spontaneously renounce the advantages of private property. With this assumption repudiated, it becomes obvious that a communist society must be based on coercive organization. The whole gob and a bunch in all of this. But if we remember the words of Kozidier, gentlemen, your materials are disorder. Out of them you must create order, or ordo ab chao. And that to build you must first destroy. We hear the same things coming down the pike again from those in the PAYTRIOT movement who are advocating the taking up of arms in all of this. Notice how similar this is to the same anarchist lines. I'll go through them again. And these are critics of the anarchist view. Critics, again, of anarchism attack the theory generally from the three points of view. First, they argue the absolute necessity of a coercive organization in any human community. Critics of anarchism attack the theory generally from three points of view. First, they argue the absolute necessity of a coercive organization in any human community. That's the state, coercion, government. Second, they undertake to show that without violence, the destruction of the state is unimaginable, whereas with violence, a new state would immediately follow the destroyed one. Well, what have you accomplished? Are you seeking the absolute, you know, the abolishment, the abolition of statism? Or is it just a this for that exchange? We don't like your kind, so we'll take a theocracy instead. Let's blow the hell out of everything. We'll be right back.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
on DVD. My newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
All right, so we're back again in the last segment of today, and I do want to close this particular article out. There's much, much more that I want to go into as we study this concept, and this is just but one of several. So let's close it out without any further interruption, hopefully. We'll see what happens. I just can't seem to read a paragraph of this writing without jumping in. But nevertheless, these arguments, however, do not destroy the whole edifice of anarchist thought. The stateless society... The No State Project, the stateless society is only an ideal vision to the anarchist, and some of them have avowedly abandoned it. Moreover, the doctrine of violence or passive resistance is not essential in this system. The fundamental element of anarchism is an extension of classic liberalism from the economic field into all other fields. Curiouser and curiouser. The extension of classical liberalism from the economic field into all other fields. It is a maximum of spontaneous cooperation based on equivalent exchange measured on the scale of justice. Now this emphasis, our author writes, on justice and liberty, if necessary, above practical efficiency, he states parenthetically, is surely an important admonition in a society which begins to lose the very meaning of these ideas. Anarchism is an emphatic assertion of the truth that our present mass democracy is not a definite solution of our deepest problems. It is a protest against the growing mechanization of political life, against the worship of state institutions, which tend unavoidably to become aims in their self, in themselves. It is against the tendency of the increasing centralized state to standardize all the activities of society and gradually transform not only material production, but also art, science, literature, and education into a state monopoly under which all minorities will be forced to accept the standards of the ruling group. Anarchism claims that every social relation must be measured by the individual needs involved. It asserts most emphatically that the state is only instrumental in the fulfillment of these needs as measured on the scale of justice. It is a plea for those tendencies which lead toward home rule, regionalism, and federalism, to the subordination of the present nation states to a broader international unity. It is an apotheosis of the richness of individual and group life as against the growing uniformity and mechanization of our present state. The ultimate feasibility of such a plan depends upon the answer which we give to the old dilemma so clearly stated by Bastiat. And here it is. Is it true that the natural economic order is in its very essence antagonistic? That it must inevitably lead to a polarization of society between extreme wealth and extreme misery? Or is it rather true that economic life could lead to harmony if liberated from certain artificial obstacles? If the first alternative is true, the compulsory regulation of society becomes a moral imperative. If the second, the road is opened toward a growing decentralization of the state and a growing intensification of autonomous group life. Now that article was written by Oscar Jazzy, J-A-S-Z-Z-I, Oscar Jazzy. And it's fascinating, and I was really impressed by his conclusion and the particular quote that he pulled from Frederick Bastiat. And as we stated in the beginning of these studies, that when we turn to these encyclopedias and these textbooks for a jump-off point, the second stage, if you will, of our study of a topic, we begin always in the dictionaries. If you're chasing down legal terms, you've got to go to the legal dictionaries. Black's Law dictionaries make up a good portion of that. If you're trying to figure something else out, then you might turn to a variety of the better conventional or common language dictionaries and find the senses and the meanings of words, but you then have to be very careful, just as in the law dictionaries, that you follow them out. And if you're trying to define or to come to a meaning or a sense of a word that was used or coined in a specific time period like socialism, you need to go back and start somewhere in the vicinity of the Noah Webster's 1878. And if you're trying to find out more about television, then you're going to need to have a more modern, maybe a 1950s dictionary and so forth. But we move from the dictionaries into the encyclopedias and the textbooks. And then from there, we allow the dictionaries, the encyclopedias, and the textbooks to provide us with links, names, dates, places, and ideas where we can go. And so at the end and the conclusion of this article on anarchism, we find the following links, places we could go to continue our study, even if we were to stay within this very set of encyclopedias. Listen up. It says also, see individualism, collectivism, communism, socialism, Bolshevism, syndicalism, nihilism, liberalism, cooperation, federalism, pluralism, decentralization, autonomy, state, society, human nature, natural order, utopias, justice, liberty, property, revolution, assassination, violence, terrorism, general strike, passive resistance, non-resistance, communistic settlements, and sects, S-E-C-T-S. And then it also says, see also the biographies of the anarchists mentioned in the text. And so as we explore these concepts in our little internet homeschool classroom, not only do we try here on this broadcast to teach you how to fish, We do feed you some fish here, but we also teach you how to fish, if I could use the collective we, so that you're not dependent on me or anyone else to make a greater inquiry into the various and sundry things that you might hear about. As William Cooper used to say, listen to everybody, read anything, but believe no one until you can prove it in your own research. Well, certainly, we don't all have the time, the leisure, the blessing, or the resources to do these kind of studies, but certainly you might at least poke around in this vicinity before you just accept whatever it is that you've heard come out of the mouth of somebody on a radio broadcast or something you hear on the news or something you see on television or hear in school at a university. There's just a whole lot of propaganda going around. There's a lot of misinformation, and there's a lot of disinformation, and there's also a tremendous amount of misdirection. When we come out against or advocate for anarchism, do we know what we're saying? If you come out against government, do you know where it's likely to lead? Do you know where others have gone before? And then when we read something like this and we come to the end of this article and we see this long list, think about how many of the words, how many of the go-sees, how many of the other articles that I've just shared with you in this encyclopedia are themselves isms that would have their own founders and would likely have their own faith statements. As we move into this 21st century, if we're going to succeed in moving towards greater and greater measures of freedom and less tyranny and control or despotic control over us in our lives, we need to be that replacement set that we're looking for. And so much of what is going to happen in the next 10 or 15 years is going to be dependent upon you right where you are. I was asked to come out to California and then go traveling around and give talks and lectures and all of this. Fall the raw. There's 177,000 voting precincts. There's over 3,066 counties. I can't possibly do it all, nor would I want to. I don't want you to have a leader, but to be a leader. Hey, we'll be back again tomorrow for another live broadcast. Till then, have a great day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.